Well, we just are gonna get right into it here. So, how have things been? How's the family? How's the ministry going that the Lord has you in? And kind of give us a little update of where you're at right now, and then maybe we can get into pretty soon. I would like to get into the biblical order of the family. You had posted something about that, and maybe kind of get into what the Lord is speaking on that as well. So, what's the update of where you're at?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I appreciate you guys having me back. I think it's been right a little over a year
Yes, I can't
since I
believe
was
it.
with you all last. Yeah, time flies. But you know, I'm doing well. I'm grateful. I think in this season, I'm learning a whole lot about myself, a whole lot about pushing through when you know your faith is tested. And you know, my family is doing well. Ask all of anybody listening, you all there at the radio station, to keep us in your prayers. We always need need anybody's prayer. But the ministry is doing well. You know, I'm refocusing my attention on the simplicity of every step you take, everywhere you go, there's a mission field. And,
Amen.
you know, I'm being very honest right now. You know, as my ministry grew and I started going more international and, you know, just that fast pace on planes, in hotels, preaching, going to the next destination, I did find myself kind of missing and sort of forgetting that day-to-day evangelism everywhere I was.
Yeah.
And that's something this year I've really tried to refocus, is, you know, whether I'm in the gym, whether I'm in the grocery store, or wherever it is. And I want to encourage anybody listening that feels like you're called to preach or you're just a believer, and all of us have received the Great Commission. You know, start where you are. And that's how we win this world for Jesus. You know,
Amen.
every place that you have a place of influence. And, you know, I know that kind of a mainstream, the mainstream church view, as people look at, like, you know, the big preachers and blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, that's where I got to get. But Jesus just wants you to get right where he wants you to get and to start where you are. The Bible says that if you're faithful over a little, he'll make you a ruler over much. So, yeah, everything is well. Just ask for your all's prayers and continued prayers. Yeah, that's what's been going on.
Amen. I love
Amen.
that because I think that's what the Lord is really speaking to his whole church right now. I've heard over and over just from different people, even guests here on the radio, different ones that evangelize or minister. It seems like the Lord is like reducing things right now.
Wow.
I don't know, that word is just what I'm thinking of, but if it could sum it up, reducing so that our vision can be on the things that matter. Because
Yes.
as we go to new heights with him, as we go with him, not even in this world, but just spiritually new heights, and to get the perspective that he wants us to have, we can't have all the noise. We can't have all the extra things that are distracting us, pulling us away from what he wants us to focus on, which is sometimes just the one. You know, he leaves the 99
Absolutely.
for the one. And so I love that because I think that's happened in the entire body of Christ, really. That's been like the agenda of the enemy, the tactic of the enemy, is to get us so focused on everything else and miss what God is trying to focus us in on, to reduce our lives down to the basic parts that he wants us to focus on, which, like you said, is witnessing to those that he's put around us. In our
Yes.
community, in our home. That's a big thing that we've been hearing a lot, and we'll get to the family here in a little bit, but missing the mission field that's literally right in front of our eyes, in our family, in our community. And not to say that he won't use us in the overseas places and in the farther regions, but you know, I don't know. I think in several people that I've talked to in the body of Christ, and even in my own heart, I've thought about this, is like, how can we go if we're not reaching the ones that are in front of us too?
No, absolutely. That's so well said. And if I can just say, you know, Jesus, he sent his disciples out two by two. And this was not, he didn't do that after he was resurrected, but this was before. And what was he doing? In a sense, they were training, right? Mm-hmm. He's sending them out two by two, and wherever they went, they were spreading, you know, the news of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so I think that, you know, if God is going to use you to do, you know, things of greater measure, if you want to look at it that way, you have to start where you are, because that's your, in a sense, it's your training field. Mm-hmm. That was my heart for years before I ever stepped on a platform to preach, is I was just, man, I loved spreading the gospel because I knew what he had done for me. And I think it comes from that, you know, that loving relationship you have with him, that's the overflow. How could you not tell people about the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life? And the last thing, I mean, I would say on this topic would be, some people would say, but Asher, I don't know a ton of scripture. Tell your testimony, because mm-hmm. I have seen more people in my life from a five-minute testimony of mine reach for Jesus than me preaching an hour-long, you know, message. So, yeah, just, you know, I just want to encourage people. I really feel that on my heart, just to step out and stay and start where you are.
You know, that's so key also. About, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And when thinking about sharing your testimony versus teaching, I think part of that is because, not that the truth will set anyone free, whether it's an unbeliever or, you know, a believer needing to be set free from something in our mind. But I think we've lost, like, the order of that the scriptures and the training in the scriptures are for equipping of the saints. And a lot of time we might try to get it backwards sometimes, of like trying to preach and teach things that unbelievers don't understand yet, when we could start with our testimony, because that's what, like, I think that's more of the order of what the gospel's laying out for us, is that's what we saw people do. I mean, the woman at the well, the disciples, they went and just told their testimony. And then once they came in, they started to follow Jesus and listening to his teachings and get equipped that way. But sometimes maybe we try to get it backwards a little bit.
Come on. That's so good. I love it.
So, amen. I love that. I love that. I think what you're saying is so spot on. And I love to hear different ministers, even that we haven't talked to for over a year, speaking the same things that the Spirit, just that confirmation of what the Spirit is speaking to his church, what Jesus is speaking to the church. And so one of the big things, and part of that reducing down to what he wants us to focus on, is the biblical order of the family. So why don't you speak into that a little bit, just what the Lord has shown you. And again, this is just something that I saw you share one day on social media, which, by the way, is also a great way, I feel like, to evangelize and share your testimony, because that's where people are at these days. I mean, social media is so, it's like a huge net, I think. And even with believers, it's a great way to encourage one another. But anyways, I saw that you had posted on that. So, I wanted you to speak into that a little bit.
Absolutely. So by no means am I an expert, on this. And definitely my wife and I have had our own issues in our marriage. And God's even taken us through a time right now of both of us deeply reflecting. I love when you said that word reduce. You know, reducing things in our lives that would hinder our relationship with him. Because in the family, if the husband and the wife are not strong in the Lord, both of them individually and then both of them together, you will see the home start to really be, you know, possibly infected with great secularism and, you know, the children being introduced to, if there are children in the home, introduced to all kinds of craziness. But the first thing I would say that I posted on this the other day as well, that I see God doing in marriages and also in just the life of the believer is, right now there's cicadas out everywhere. It's like the year of the cicada.
Yeah.
And I think it's like every 13 to 17 years or whatever, they come out. And the other night I was on my deck late praying, and I started staring at one of the cicadas that was, that had come out of the shell. I think they call it the exoskeleton. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there looking at it, and it's hanging on. It's like this, the shell is dead, and it's hanging onto the shell as it starts to, its wings are folding out, and, you know, it's getting its strength. And God said to me, "Asher, do you see how it's hanging onto the shell?" And I'm just like, "Yes, Lord." He's like, "Let go of dead things."
Mm.
And that's one of the words this, you know, for the rest of the year that I'm going to be speaking is, in marriages, there's so much offense that's being held on to. There's so much of the past being held on to. There's so much of what you learned, maybe, God bless our parents, but what we learned that was negative from our parents that we brought into the marriage. Let go of dead things. Let go of those empty things. There's nothing there anymore. And spread your wings and fly. So, you know, when it comes to the biblical order of marriage, we have seen, and this has happened for a long time, but it's the most I have personally ever seen. I'm going to turn 40 in September, so in my lifetime, it's the most I've ever seen it. There's an attack on specifically the Christian home, and that starts with the attack on the man.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a Bible believer, so if anybody listening gets upset about this, I can't help that. I have to go by what the Word says. And, you know, there is a great illustration online if you look up biblical order of the family, and it's this picture of like Jesus hovering over the man with his arms. It's a covering, and it'll say Jesus, and it says husband, and then next to husband it says protects family, leads family. And then he has the husband, his arms over top of the woman, like covering her, and it says wife, nurtures, teaches, and then she has her arms over the children. And it says, children, they love their parents, and they honor their parents. So if you look in Scripture, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of order. And if anybody argues this, I would argue back, but God is obsessed with order. You even look mm-hmm. at when he told Moses, when you build the tabernacle, you build it exactly by the pattern and order that I show you. And God is even saying right now to Christian homes, wake up, there's an attack on your family, and you need to get in order. Now, I am a big believer of, you know, of course, in the sense of equality when it comes to, you know, all the things like women being able to vote and women being able to work and all those things. You know, we don't live in a medieval time anymore, but I do believe that the man is to lead his home, and the Bible also says that the husband is the head of the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible talks about Christ is the head of the church. And if we as believers see that as him being our head, that means that, the way I've always seen it is, that means he is our eyes, he is our ears, he is the one that through us speaks through us, so he's our mouth. And I believe the role of the husband is to, as he has a relationship with Christ, he is to reflect that relationship to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, simultaneously, the wife is to have her own relationship with God, but she is to, in a healthy way, this is in some homes very out of order, but in a healthy way, she is to submit to her husband. We live in a day and age where women are being really, really targeted as well. And it seems like for some women, it's a really good thing. And they're being taught, you don't need a man. You can do exactly what a man can do. You can climb the ladder in your career. You lead the home. And while, yes, a woman is very capable of leading in the workplace and all of those things, she is to desire her husband, and her husband is to desire her, but they, as a married couple, should want the order that Christ wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see that really backward in our society now. Some of that is because men have just forfeited their leadership responsibility, and or some of it is that Unfortunately, even some Christian women have been, you know, influenced to say, no, I'm going to lead this home.
Yeah.
And while both the husband and the wife are leaders, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean that she's, you know, super fragile and all that. It just is she's the weaker vessel. But it says that God has created them, though, as equal partners in the grace of life.
Wow.
So while the husband is her head, and while he is to lead and protect, they also are equal partners. It's not that she walks behind the man. They walk side by side. But as she sees the husband serving Christ, and she sees him protecting, she sees him in every way he's able to provide and lead. She is to honor him. She is to respect him. And she is to submit to him. And I know that word submit is like so, like a lot of people hear it and think, oh, no, submission's a bad thing. Submission simply means that you come up under the leadership, the rule of another. And so, that is really under attack. And we can see this, Hannah, from the beginning of time when the serpent went to Eve after God had told Adam. By the way, some people miss this. God gave the instructions to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Of every tree and seed-bearing plant in this garden, you may eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not eat it, because the day that you do, you will die. So Adam's responsibility was then to take and share with his wife what the Lord said. Well, when the serpent came and, told Eve, when she's looking at the fruit that's on the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and he says, did God really say that you can't eat of this tree? So he's proposing a question to confuse her. And we see something interesting where Eve adds something to what God said. She says, yes, he says that we can't eat of it nor touch it. But God never said, don't touch it. So what I see in that is the serpent had got her so confused that she starts trying to add things to talk herself out of partaking of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the serpent goes on and on and pretty much tells her, no, he doesn't want you to eat of this because he knows the day that you do, you're going to become just like him. And so she is deceived. But the reality is Adam sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you read the scriptures, it says, and her husband Adam was with her. So I believe that Adam was kind of in the background watching, and he's like, this isn't right. I need to stop this. But instead, he took, and I'm not upset with Eve. I think it's funny when you hear people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give a piece of my mind to Eve and Adam. And I'm like,
yeah.
Really? Like, how many times have you sinned? Like, so, and I sinned? So Adam should have, he should have stopped that because Adam, the man, he is to lead. And I think there are some marriages that I see, and it gives me a lot of hope, where I do see that biblical order in place. And I see the children, and let's talk about children. I have a real heart for children and young adults because, I know that life gets busy, and I know that, the culture is changing, but what I'm seeing is a lot of parents letting an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet raise children.
Raise the kids, yeah.
And last night I was at the gym working out with my buddy. We did some training, and we were walking on the track up top, and we looked down over at everybody in the gym, and I said, brother, count how many people are looking at their phone right now. And there was like probably 15 people. There was 11 people out of 15 just looking at their phone.
Wow.
And nowadays that's, what's raising the kid from the time they're 12 years old, they get their first phone. Why a 12-year-old needs a phone, I don't know, but I want to encourage if whatever parents are listening to this or whoever would hear this, or you're planning on having children, tablets, phones, iPads, those are necessary for times, where you have something to do, you want to keep them busy. But please, instill in your children, you know, eye contact, quality time, communication. The Bible tells us as parents to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord, mm-hmm. that when they're older, they will not depart from it. And so I have a real heart for this generation, because things are so backwards now. You know, you have the biblical order in the family is all scrambled up. You have children being raised by, you know, electronics. And it really does. It breaks my heart. You know, and I didn't do a perfect job with me and my wife's, excuse me, daughter. I know that there were days that I spent like whole summers with her, and I just was like, man, I've kind of run out of ideas. And I let her sit in front of the TV for too long. But, you know, when you see this biblical order in place, though, you will genuinely see the children that love the parents, honor them, and respect them.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I'm going to be honest, Anna, I actually kind of see it going like this. Children lead, then the wife, then the husband.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm seeing a lot.
That is.
And I do want to tell any women that may be listening or hear this, that if you have a husband that is not serving God, well, God will give you a grace to lead, because God will use whoever he wants to lead, and God will establish whoever he wants to. But I believe it's by your example to him that will win him for Christ, and then that order can come into place. And I know that when you do things under the order of God in love, that you will see your home be so tremendously blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You will have such peace. The communication will be wonderful. That was another thing that the enemy was after in the garden. Number one, he was after communication.
Yeah.
First thing that you see right after they partake of it, they realized they were naked. The glory of God was actually their covering. So when they partook of it, the glory of God left, and they realized they're naked. And God comes to do what he normally did, walk in the cool of the day with Adam and speak with him. But Adam is not where he usually would be. And he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I'm over here. I hid because I'm naked. We hid because we're naked. And God says, who told you that? So, you know, the enemy has always been after communication. And so I just, you know, Hannah, I really want to pray. I don't know if we can pray before the end of this time together.
Yeah, let's pray, because I think that this is just a huge issue right now in our culture, but even in the church, it's become a really huge issue. And so, you know, let's pray and just believe God for this restoration of this order.
Absolutely. So, Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you right now for first, if this makes sense, Lord, gentle balance.
Yes.
That God, as people establish what you have purposed, that both of them would have an understanding, the husband towards the wife, as he is instructed to love his wife as Christ loved the church, giving himself for her in everything. He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. And Father, I pray that wives could see as their husbands lead in this way, being sacrificial, that they would give honor and respect to their husbands. And God, that as those, that husband and that wife are close, that the children then would see that, God, and replicate that through the generations. Father, we just pray over homes where the enemy is attacking and the enemy is wreaking havoc, where the enemy is causing divorce, the enemy is causing separation. Father, we just rebuke it.
Yes.
And Father, we just ask for restoration. Have your way, God. May forgiveness and great grace be shown towards one another, God. And I just pray over the children, the young adults of this generation, God. May there be a great awakening in their life. May you just do something incredible as you pour your spirit out upon all flesh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. What a powerful prayer. We're in agreement for that to happen. And just thanks for coming on with us. We're out of time, unfortunately. We might need to have a longer time.
Okay, don't let it go too long.
No. We might need to do an hour long next time because this was just so good. And
Amen.
But we're out of time. So have a blessed day. Thank you so much. And we'll be praying for you guys as well.
Thank you. Please do. Appreciate you, Hannah.
Thank you. And then you can find him on Facebook, Asher Bach, and you can find any of his other information there. So we love you guys. We're out of time this morning, and we will see you back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.